Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
I'll tell you where this show has gotten already today is the candy corn takes fly fast and furious around here. We found a small battalion of people at ESPN that support the greater good of candy corn. But Jhené, as we're getting ready to come back into this segment, all I hear in my ear from Devin, our producer, is, I don't know if you want your wig on this segment, but just letting you know, it's off. That's where we are on this Halloween day. Or Halloween
no,
Eve
it's
day.
Still it's still secure.
Oh, no, he was talking about my wig. Your wig is oh. Like... So, for anyone watching on ESPN News right now, I am Rick from Rick and Morty. Jhené is Mary J. Blige. One of us is the standard def version of their costume. The other one is high definition, well done, well tailored. Like, Jhené, you went all in on this.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I've loved Miss Mary. I've loved watching her dance and her bop, so this was easy for me. But for you, I mean, you did pretty well. You just missed your eyebrow, which I feel like that's not hard to miss.
I did pretty well. That feels like the radio pat on the head right there that I just got.
No, but it's nice. You got the white blazer. You got the blue shirt. You got that. You went. At least you did something, Cliff. At least you did something, Dev.
That is true. We had a staff that really, really just decided to mail it in today. Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Remind
oh, wow.
You,
they fist pound. Did you
oh,
see that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
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 The betrayal around here. See, it started off as one team. Then Cliff went his own way. Now Devin's pulling people apart. Soon they're going to get Shannon to leave us. This is going to be me and you, Jhené. We're going to be the only ones left.
Devin came to the dark side with me.
Yeah, he did go to the dark side. I have a really good costume that we should have been, but I don't think I'm going to say it here.
I don't know if the world is ready for it. We'll decide that in the next break and see if we're ready to reveal that to you. We'll also get ready in about 10 minutes to talk to Jason Wright, president of the Washington football team, about some things that they're going to be involved with going into next weekend as we get up ready for the upcoming election. More
oh,
on
that's
that.
A hint right there to what I was thinking. What we could have been together.
Oh, God, we're not even going to go anywhere near it. Jhené Angola Jr. reminding you to tune into college football action tomorrow. Louisville hosts Virginia Tech, presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. A great cannonball moment there from yours truly. But, Jhené, as we've sat around here all day, the big news yesterday, and still in the world of college football going into this weekend, is going to be Trevor Lawrence, the star quarterback for Clemson, testing positive for COVID-19. Also do want to take this time, by the way, to wish well to our colleague Desmond Howard, who announced that he was also tested positive for COVID-19, going to be missing from the game day crew this weekend. So certainly well wishes, thoughts, and prayers Desmond's way that he makes a recovery and is fine just the same way Trevor is, because this is jarring. Like you said, Jhené, and I think this is the perfect reminder, as we saw this happen with Rudy Gobert, as we saw this happen with Cam Newton, there are certain moments for a lot of people that sort of crystallize just how real this is, and I think Trevor Lawrence probably should be that for the college football world if it wasn't abundantly clear already.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because when you think about the different conferences, the ACC, I believe it's a 10-day period in which you test positive before you can actually do something again, right? The Big Ten, it's 21 days. And so now seeing what the impact is on the landscape of he's not playing this week, and if he's not able to play next week is a big game in the sense that it's Notre Dame. And, I know you know that team inside and out, but I think, there's still an opportunity where even if Clemson were to lose, they still have a chance, to play Notre Dame in the title game of the ACC, and then still have their college football standing strong enough for them to feel good about entering a year where they can go and compete for a title. So when you think about this matchup without Trevor Lawrence potentially, how do you see Notre Dame approaching it? Do you think Notre Dame is, obviously it's going to be harder without Trevor, even though they do have a solid backup, which, by the way, I'm going to need you to help me pronounce the name.
Yeah, I can say for everyone getting acquainted with this right now, and there are two backups we could potentially see, but the one you're referencing, the one who's most noteworthy, big-time, high-profile recruit, everyone saw him and was introduced to DJ Uiagalelei. Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
Boom, there you go. DJ Uiagalelei. DJ Uiagalelei, as I butcher that immediately after teaching someone else how to say that, is the name you're going to be familiar with. He is a massive recruit, one that people looked at and said, all right, so they're going to give Trevor Lawrence away, and then they're going to bring this guy in. He's going to be phenomenal, is one of them. And for this weekend, a little more pressing, DJ and their other backup quarterback have both been dealing with injuries along the way. But if it were to come down with that, this is still a guy we've seen Clemson reload at this position time and time again, Jhené, that for that matchup, there are still enough other parts of Clemson's team I worry about if I'm Notre Dame, in this game. And for that matchup, David Hale, who does a great job covering the ACC for us around here, that said Trevor Lawrence tested positive on Wednesday, but the symptoms may have started sooner. Clemson's not confirming that. If Wednesday starts that 10-day clock, he'd be good to go for Notre Dame. Dabo said practice isn't necessary. If Tuesday starts the clock, that's even better for them. While some schools and players add additional time for, quote, reintroduction, this is probably not necessary for a quarterback of Lawrence's stature. So we're already seeing the clever accounting that goes on in some of these instances when it is someone this high profile. I mean, hell, we just saw what happened with Nick Saban. So, Janae, it also won't shock me if somehow, some way, Trevor Lawrence is back out on that field because we know how this sport operates.
Very true. Now, you know, when we think about him potentially being off, or maybe he is able to play against Notre Dame. I mean, Clemson's defense is giving up, what, 13.5 points per game. So at least, you know, over the next week or so, you can say, all right, defense will just ratchet it up. But, you know, if you're in Notre Dame's locker room and say potentially we get to a position where Notre Dame is playing against Trevor or not Trevor, how do you think this would affect the Fighting Irish?
Well, I mean, you've got an incredibly fast defense that I think was always going to be the key to trying to just slow down that offense. But on the other side, Notre Dame's got to worry more about itself right now as Ian Book and that offense try and get to a place that's going to be able to hit Clemson in a bunch of different ways on this game, especially down the field. We know wide receiver's been an area they're looking for more production. But, Chiney, you also mentioned what happens win or loss-wise in this game maybe being mitigated by the fact that there's still the ACC championship game to contend with. But there's also this. Heather Dinich, our great ESPN college football insider, deals so much with the College Football Playoff Committee. She has basically got the cup on the door listening to this committee room. She gives such great insight, and she talked about how the committee is going to specifically address this year and the idea that some of college football's best players may go through similar things like to what Trevor Lawrence is going through.
We've seen it with Trevor Lawrence. Guys, I looked it up last night because I remember this. 2018, Clemson's playing Syracuse. Trevor Lawrence gets knocked out of the game, which what I think was a head injury, and Chase Bryce goes in and comes in and wins the day for them. It was a very close game. I want to say they won like 27-23, 24, something like that. And the big question was, oh, they didn't look too great in that game. What is the selection committee going to think with Trevor Lawrence injured in that game? And in the end, it didn't impact them because they won every game and they made it to the CFP. But we have seen this happen before. And look, again, the question is, what do they look like without him in the lineup? What do they look like down the stretch with him in the lineup? At the end of the day, it's, are they a top four team down the stretch when the committee rankings start? And look, they don't even start till November 24th. So there's plenty of time for Clemson to figure this out.
And I would like to hope that, you know, this, number one, the priority is for Trevor Lawrence to get better. Because the last time we talked about a quarterback testing positive outside of the Wisconsin situation, which we discovered this week, was Cam Newton. And then he stepped into a situation where obviously the team is struggling, but it's like you couple those things and you don't want to tie those two together, but it's the reality that people might be struggling and not even know they're struggling. And so hopefully when it comes to Trevor Lawrence, like even if he's, you know, he is exhibiting mild symptoms. Yep. A lot of people are saying, you know, asymptomatic, you should be fine, but he was forthright with saying, I have mild symptoms. So as long as he's protecting himself in this situation, I think it's extremely important as well.
Yeah, that's the huge part, because again, we want him to be able to live the rest of his life well. We want to, and even if you're just thinking in the football sense, to be able to go on and do all the things that we know he's capable of at the pro level, to be able to take his dreams outside of just the college game here. So you're right. That's the first place we always need to start. That's why it feels kind of callous sometimes the way we have to talk about and analyzing the sports, or feel compelled to, the competitive portion of this, because Chiney, overall, the big picture of this year that Heather Dinich just described there is one that leans more into, and it's always interesting, Chiney, you went through this on the NCAA side with basketball, where there's a committee that selects the tournament fields for the men's and women's tournaments in the NCAA, like we have with college football now. And college football's criteria is just more out there because we got the selection show, we have all this stuff out there that's so pointed, and we always bring up these criteria, you know, best, most deserving, conference championships, common opponents. Like, you don't have common opponents this year. You've got a bunch of conferences starting at different times over the course of the season. Like, what we just went through with Major League Baseball and everyone complaining about analytics, you're going to get the polar opposite this year with the selection committee in this. It is going to be more eye test dependent than ever. And so to Heather's point, if you're the committee looking at this Clemson team, you know you've got a juggernaut right there. You know if Trevor Lawrence is on the field, exactly who this team is because they get the benefit of all that pass. They're going to eye test the ever-living hell out of this entire season, Janae.
Do you think a two-loss Clemson would even get, you know, a benefit of the doubt when it comes to the challenges that they're dealing with Trevor right now?
I think if it came to Trevor not being on the field as they assess that, it's going to be interesting because I don't think anyone's going to make it through the season without a game moved or postponed, without dealing with some players being off the field. That's what, you know, complicates all of this is we've seen very early on, you mentioned Wisconsin's a great reminder that that team was week one of their season, already on their backup quarterback who balled out, and now they are reeling and trying to figure things out. So we'll try and figure out a lot more of this as we get ready to go into a weekend where all five of the top five college football teams are on our air. But coming up next, we head back to the NFL and check in with the Washington football team to find out about their plans for the future, both on the field and off the field. That's next. It's Chanae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Man, I tell you what, The Nightmare Before Christmas, that is a Halloween classic. Shout out to Tim Burton. Shout out to everybody involved in that. An absolute dynamo. Janae, I trust you've seen the all-timer that is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I have seen that one, and I have seen Scary Movie. I think those are the only Halloween movies I've seen.
All right, we're dealing with a bit of
Halloween Town. Halloween Town.
All right, there we go. There's another one. We're dealing with a limited repertoire here, but we're going to make do with what we've got here. As I forget my wig yet again on here.
Oh, really, I can't believe you. Listen, snatched your wig.
It's been a while since I've had hair. This is different for me, okay? Chanae and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chanae Gwimake here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And that is where we go now, as we are joined by the president of the Washington football team, Jason Wright, with us here. Jason, how are you? We appreciate the time today.
I'm doing great, Mike and Tanae. How are you?
We're good. We're good. Jason, nice to talk to you again. I know we just chatted pretty recently. And, you know, one thing we talked about was how we are all trying to find a way to make our voices heard. And this is one thing that I think you guys have done really well with the Washington football team, starting with a new culture and especially with what is coming next week with the election. Can you talk about what DM Votes is and how it has helped impact the community?
Yes, yes, yes. But before I do that, I got to give y'all shout outs on these costumes. I can't see them, but I heard about them coming on. And just a quick personal thing. Mary J. Blige was the best concert I ever went to. It was my first concert. It was Bone Thugs and Harmony and Mary J. Blige at the Forum in Inglewood, California.
Oh, wow.
So shout out to your costume. And then the music, the soundtrack in my head now, Mike, is that, you know, Shake That Thing song from Rick and Morty.
you gotta get Schwifty, Jason. That's the number one rule.
And let me see what you got. That's in my head now. And now it's not going to get out at all.
Incredible. So Jason, anyway. Wright, you're a man of incredible taste and culture. I just want to compliment you and appreciate everything you just brought to the table here. It is no wonder that you are helping this organization out in so many ways. So yes. I won't interrupt you again. I just wanted to give the credit where it was due after that.
Yeah, you just got to see my nerd side a little bit. But no, but that does apply to what we're trying to do here, right? We're trying to be transparent. We're trying to be open. We're trying to be real members of our community, and that's where this D.C., Maryland, Virginia votes thing comes from. We see ourselves not just as a football team, but as corporate citizens. And so we're trying to lead by example. 100% of our players are registered, and our players and their reach is an asset, and they're setting a really great example. And we are also going to use the asset of our stadium to be able to provide a space for Prince George's County where they expect record turnout. And not only that, but we're partnering with Chef Jose Andres and World Central Kitchen, Pepsi, and others to bring food and water to bear. And then for folks who have trouble getting to the polls, we're working with Lyft to provide vouchers. So we're just trying to use all of our influence as an NFL franchise to do something that we think is unambiguously good, nonpartisan, and in line with what our players want to do around social justice.
And I wanted to ask you about that, Jason, because we've seen this offseason, it's been such a renewed effort around so many players to be involved in these instances. What are some of the conversations you've had with players on the team about their goals and ambitions in this area of trying to make sure that not only their voices are heard, but the voices of others, you said, that need help in this area?
Yeah, I think our players and the players around the league have realized they have mastered the art of raising their voice and bringing attention to causes. It started with I should give a shout out, Chiney, to the WNBA, who've been doing it for years.
Yes.
But, you know, going back to CAF and going through others, there's always been, athletes have honed the ability to shine light on a cause. And I think our guys realize we can do that. But now we want to take it to the next level, and we want to start to see tangible impact in our communities related to the things we care about. And this voting push is one of those. The conversations that our players have been having with local police forces and working with legislators in the area is another. And we have other things coming down the pipe as well. So it's a little bit of Marshawn Lynch, we're about to be about that action on this, of converting from great ideas and visibility to things that we can measure and say we have impacted our community in XYZ way.
About that action, boss. Here with the boss, Jason Wright, of the Washington football team on Chiney Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Now, what is your team's plan or your players' plans when it comes to Election Day on Tuesday?
Yeah, so on Election Day, we will have our stadium open. Our staff will be volunteering across the day as election workers, as operational staff. Our security staff is going to be there. We're opening the stadium in the same way that we open it. And you know, that requires real work, real expense, all of that stuff. You know, I'll be there, I think my team told me I'll be there at 6:15 doing my shift in the morning. I'm not trying to be up that early, but I'm going to be there. We're really trying to put hands and feet into the community on what is an important day, because we recognize that barriers exist to people being able to vote. And that's an essential component of having a free and open society, one where we are on a steady march towards equity. And so we're just going to do our part.
Jason Wright with us here, president of the Washington football team on Chiney Ngola Jr., Mike Golick Jr., Chiney Agumake here. And Jason, so many great efforts and initiatives that you're a part of. We're excited to see all of those put into practice coming up next week. We would be remiss if we didn't ask you some about what we've seen from the Washington football team so far this year.
Yeah.
And just for you personally, as someone who played the game at a high level the way that you did in the NFL, watching Alex Smith come back out onto the field, what were some of the feelings that you experienced as someone that had been in those same shoes, albeit not coming back from the kind of injury we've seen Alex work his way back from?
Yeah, I mean, it was really remarkable to me. I mean, I wrote about it in one of my blogs. I really called it a superhuman moment. I was watching, and just him running out on the field, I subconsciously stood up out of my chair and started giving a standing ovation. Because you know the perseverance, the physical pain, the toil with the family, the tough conversations about is it worth it to go back out, all of that coming to head in a moment where this man is able to play again. And hell, he's only 2 years younger than me. So I already know how my body feels right now. Like, that man's been through it. We're almost the same age. Like, this is just, it's just remarkable as a physical feat in the first place. But also what it meant for the team. To establish and represent the type of culture that Coach Rivera is trying to establish, one of dogged dedication, of pushing through tough moments, of doing what it takes to support your teammates. And I think all of that came together in that moment. It's one we can really be proud of.
And Jason, you know this as a part of this league. There's two sides to every coin in that. And on the other side of that is Dwayne Haskins, young quarterback in this league, who now has found himself going through a bit of adversity here. What does the future look like with the Washington football team for Dwayne Haskins as it currently sits with him?
Well, you know, one of the things I'm learning in my role, because I have, you know, whatever limited visibility I have into the football side, is the fact that I played 7 years in the league gives me some, you know, some level of expertise. But these coaches, these scouts, the leaders who are making the roster decisions and setting the culture on the football side, man, they've been in it for decades. They've broken down, you know, umpteen more film cuts than I've ever seen, you know, in a session. And I'm learning on my team on the business side to build and trust the right expertise, and I fully trust the expertise that sits on that side. Coach Rivera knows what the heck he's doing. He's a winner. The guys on the team are mutually supportive of one another. I have no doubt that Dwayne and the other folks are still close and collegial and trying to build towards a good culture. And so I just sit at a distance just like y'all as a fan, and I'm excited to watch it all come together. And we're in a unique situation in that, you know, it's a young team, and we obviously have room to improve at 2-5. And that's important for a young team to know that we have ground to cover. But we're also in a division race, so they're still playing meaningful games. And I, you know, you couldn't think of a more ideal situation for Coach to firmly establish what he's trying to create.
Absolutely. You guys firmly establishing and creating a lot both on and off the field. So, Jason, we appreciate the time and the insight into everything you guys have coming up next week, as always. We'll talk to you
soon.
Thanks,
Jason.
Of course. See y'all soon.
Jason Wright, president of the Washington football team, with us here on Chinay and Golic Jr. Coming up next, we will get a look at the entire NFL slate coming up this weekend with one of our favorites. Next, it's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Our thanks to Jason Wright, president of the Washington football team, for joining us here on Chinay and Golic Jr. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Igwumike, a.k.a. Rick Sanchez, Mary J. Blige, hanging out with everyone today here. Chinay, I can see, like, there are certain outfits, I think, that just give people confidence, and I feel like dressing the way Mary J. Blige dresses just can't help but give you a ton of confidence in everything.
I mean, all red fur? I spent all last night trying to get this together.
And you know what? It came together flawlessly here. As things always tend to do when we
unlike
bring
your
in
wig.
Our neck. Unlike my wig that is just a constant state of flux right now. Marcus Spears with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, our ESPN NFL analyst. And Marcus, before we get to anything that we're wearing in this instance, anything going on in the NFL this weekend, and you have great insight into one of the best rivalry games coming up this weekend, I got to ask you, we just talked to Jason Wright, and he said his first concert was Bone Thugs and Harmony and Mary J. Blige at the Forum in Los Angeles. Marcus, I have to imagine your first concert experience was like equally lit, correct?
You are absolutely right, but it was a local artist who's not local anymore. It was Lil Boosie,
ooh,
who I actually grew up with. He did a homecoming show at Southern University in Baton Rouge. And I was going crazy because I saw him come all the way up, start his rap career, and then he had hit it big because it was like 20,000 people there, and they knew every word to every song. That's when I knew he made it.
Lil Boosie is one of athletes' favorites. He gets you right before the game. Now, while we're on the subject of Halloween, Marcus, is candy corn good or not?
No.
And come on, Marcus, I figured you were a man of, like, exquisite taste. You appreciate the finer things. You're also a big fella. Like, this is the kind of world we live in. I can't believe you turn your back on candy corn like this.
MG, listen, man. Like, there are so many other things you can enjoy on Halloween outside of candy corn, bro. Like, don't put me in that group. I don't like it, man. it's just like when people say they like Tootsie Rolls, okay? I get it. You can like Tootsie Rolls. But Tootsie Rolls ain't all that. Like, you know, it's kind of like Chick-fil-A for me, guys. I like Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is good. It's super consistent. But when people go crazy over Chick-fil-A, I don't get it. I'm not there with it.
Marcus, I appreciate that because Chinay and I are both that same way with In-N-Out on the West Coast. Like, it's the same thing, man. It's too much hype for me.
Yeah.
It's good. It's not anything to lose your mind about.
No, it's nothing to lose your mind about. And I'm with you. They brought In-N-Out to Texas before I moved from there. And it was solid. It's a solid burger, but it's not like, I just don't know, man. Sometimes I think, you know, it the tradition of something makes us believe that it's good, just like in this case with candy corn. Candy corn actually sucks, MG Jr. Be honest, man. Like, it's not something you ever think about until it's Halloween.
Marcus,
you don't wake up.
Marcus, someone tweeted this at me and said, candy corn is a great candy to eat while you're deciding what other candy you want to eat. That's fair?
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And Marcus, here with Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst and also a host of NFL Live on Chinay and Golic Jr. Now, you talked about the tradition of something making it good, right? That's what we've got between the Ravens and the Steelers this weekend. What is one of the things that you're going to be looking out for the game?
Oh, physicality, Chinay. Listen, this game is old school throwback, and I know we like to throw that term around, but usually this game is won in the trenches. And yes, they will throw the ball on both sides, but both teams want to establish a physical run game. And then Ben, obviously, getting the ball out of his hands as fast as he's been doing it. The Baltimore Ravens want to create some rush. I said earlier today, we need to hear Calais Campbell's name a lot. One thing he's known for is getting to the quarterback. Another thing he's known for is a lot of batted balls. They signed Yannick. They have Judon on the other side. Brandon Williams in there at D tackle. Like, this is going to be a physical game. And then if you look on the back end, it's matchups, right? Like, if you look at the Ravens personnel defensively, they match up really well with who Pittsburgh is offensively. When you talk about Peters on the back end, who takes chances. Now, could get beat. He could pay because Marcus Peters, he likes to jump passes and likes to get kind of wacky in his coverage, but it's paid off for him more in his career than not. And then Humphreys, arguably one of the top DBs in the league. And then you have Jimmy Smith, who is a kind of the third guy now, who was a star in this league at the cornerback position for a while. Deshaun Elliott, like this matchup against James Washington and Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool and Juju, this is the one to watch. This is about the personnel. And I know we like scheme. I know we like to talk about what teams do to create mismatches and disadvantages. But this one really is going to boil down to playmakers making plays like it always has. And that's what I'm excited about.
ESPN NFL analyst Marcus Spears joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. Marcus, I heard Ian Fitzsimmons and Freddie Coleman talking about this the other night, man. Rivalries in the NFL versus rivalries in college. For you, you lived on the inside of this one as part of the Baltimore Ravens. You were part of Dallas Cowboy teams in the NFC East that were obviously some of the more storied rivalries in the NFL. But you also played at LSU. You and you played in the SEC. What, in your mind, is the biggest difference between the bad blood in a college rivalry versus some of these ones we see in the NFL?
The college rivalry is more exciting, right? It's like the and to be honest, it's weird, man. It's weird every time I talk about this. When I was at LSU, we didn't really have a rival because LSU hadn't really won anything to be a rival with anybody. And when you play in the SEC, especially in the SEC. In the SEC West, it's all about every opponent because you're seeing everybody. Like in the league, in the NFC East, when I played, Dallas Cowboys, Washington Football Team, New York Giants, like all of those games were considered rivalries. This Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens is different though because of the not only the bad blood, man. Think about how many legends have come through this game. Think about how many guys defensively that you think of as nasty, physical, hard-hitting people have played in this game. Ryan Clark etched his name in the physicality of this game. Obviously, Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs. And, you know, so it's always a loaded nada. It's always been about the physicality in this game. And I think that's what sets this one apart from all of the other rivalries in the NFL. When you really get to the week of this game, man, and being a part of it, it's really a significant amount of bad blood. Like, it's almost like a disrespect mad element to this game. And in college, you get that, but every guy in college is trying to go to the pros. But when you can create this with what the best the world has to offer, that's why I got to put, as far as the game on the field, this rivalry probably tops them all in our recent memory.
Couldn't agree more, Marcus. It's going to be a great one on this weekend slate. We're all excited to watch, man. I'm going to eat up all the candy corn that you and Chanae are leaving behind on the field for us here.
And the Tootsie Rolls.
We appreciate it, boss. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, family. Talk to y'all.
He's so right about Tootsie Rolls, by the way. I'm glad he said that. For anyone that slanders candy corn, if you're not equally as critical of Tootsie Rolls, you're lying to yourself and you're a hypocrite.
That is very true. Tootsie Roll, better dance than candy.
Fact. Run and tell that one, everybody. All right. Speaking of that, coming up next, we got to head to more of what the NFL he talked about there. Bad blood. In this case, it's spilling from off the field back to someone who's still involved in the game right now. We'll get to that. Plus, are we doing holograms? That's next. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Trying to figure out during the break is coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll get back to the world of college football, rocked by major news that Trevor Lawrence will not be on the field for the Clemson Tigers this weekend, about what the scariest thing this weekend might be. Ohio State going up against Penn State, because I do not see that going well for the Nittany Lions. Or later on, the Chiefs playing the Jets. Good Lord, Chanae, I might want to cover. You might want to like cover your kids' eyes for that game.
Those can be two very, very lopsided engagements this weekend.
Could be a tough one here. Here's to hoping that the Ohio State Penn State game is better, that a different Penn State shows up than the one that lost to IU last week. We know Week One is not a total indictment, but man, that Ohio State team looks good. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chanae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Chanae, we talk a lot about bad blood today. Ravens Steelers coming up this weekend. Marcus Spears was just with us. Rivalries are kind of built different, right? And he mentioned college is usually the place where they've got the most teeth. But the NFL also has certain spots. Certainly, the AFC North is a division well known for that. The NFC East, a division well known for that. We don't normally think of the AFC East in this because it's been so dominant, but I feel like a little bit of the rivalry built up when we heard from Bart Scott earlier talking about the Patriots' struggles as a reflection of Bill Belichick and all this. Here he was.
Right here is a list of all the drafts from the last 5 years in which the great Bill Belichick has had numerous picks. He hasn't been able to really come up with any stars. I believe it, he hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler since 2013. So this is a bigger indictment on Bill Belichick, not the coach, but the general manager and his ability to just surround his team with talent. But when you have the perfect eraser, the equalizer in Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, it didn't matter who was out at receiver. He would make it work. So I think this is a bigger case for Tom Brady to say that he was the reason why that organization was successful for all those years. Because you take him away, and it's like when LeBron left the Cavaliers, it's like you won with these cats. You go from, you know, being maybe the, you know, winning the division,
don't
the
you do that,
contender,
Bart,
to not
Bart,
even being able
that.
To make the playoffs. You're going to get shut out by the Buffalo Bills. I mean, this is a big indictment on Bill Belichick, and that's maybe tough. Bill Belichick, you know, the general manager should be fired and on the hot seat. Ooh. And keep the coach around because the coach is outstanding. Ooh.
Chine, are we really going to start doing this right now and not just act like this isn't former New York Jet Bart Scott kind of taking advantage of a situation where now the New England Patriots seem a little humbled?
Yeah, it seems too little, too soon. Like, come on now. I understand that, yes, this is something that Patriots fans are not used to, being on a losing streak, because this is the Patriots' first three-game losing streak since 2002 when I was 10 years old. But if you look at the big picture here, I think it's harder to see a situation where the Patriots succeed more so, just because they've been dealt a tough hand when it comes to this season. The number of opt-outs they had before the season started, Cam Newton contracting the virus, even now what we're hearing from Stephon Gilmore, whether or not he lists his house on Zillow, but also with his injury situation, which I think is minor, what they're saying, it has not looked smooth or easy, and that's what we expect from them. I don't think it's time to jump ship and think that everything is failing now. I just think that this year has been tough. They made a big swing at getting Cam, and it's hard to make all of that gel this year, especially when you have a new player at quarterback this year as well.
Yeah, Chine, I'm glad you said that, because there is way more at play in here than anyone think. Like, the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick argument is a ton of fun. Like, hell, I'm a sports talk radio gas bag now. Like, I live for this stuff. It is the low-hanging fruit that we can't help but pick more often than not around here. But like you just said, I think the Patriots had darn near double-digit opt-outs in the case of COVID-19 for a team that already lost in free agency and let walk, which is a thing the Patriots do. They are not usually the ones to re-sign guys to monster deals when it comes to this. And so we watched their linebacker core that did so well last year that had a nickname all go get paid somewhere else in this instance. We have watched Julian Edelman age very quickly before our eyes in the last couple of years and the injuries that have started to mount for him. Hell, the Patriots offensive line has been up in the air, whether it's, you know, losing, you know, a guy like Dante Scarnecchia, one of the most important influential coaches in the National Football League, the guys that we've seen in and out of the lineup there, and then you throw off, yeah, you gambled on Cam. Like, I'm not ready to yet put the idea that this is just as simple as Belichick's lost a step, either as GM or coach. It should be a reminder, though, Janae, everyone makes mistakes. Like, they did pick N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State when they could have had DK Metcalf that's now exploded in Seattle. So they do miss from time to time, especially up near the top of the draft.
Yeah, it's true. Everyone does miss occasionally, especially when you're in New England. It's not, you know, often. But when you think about the AFC East, I mean, this is something that the Patriots have run the last few years. But, okay, we don't count the Jets. The Dolphins have a switch at quarterback, especially when it comes to, you know, Tua going out there. It's going to be interesting to see if he can build off of that ceiling. But, like, everyone's thinking, if you can rally, the time is now. It just seems like the odds are against them in this instance.
Does seem like the odds are against them. It's going to be a very interesting game. A Buffalo Bills team kind of limping into this one after a performance that seemed a little too close for comfort with the New York Jets last weekend.
True.
Our own Christine Lisi has been hard at work. The resident Buffalo Bills fan around ESPN Radio has been baking overtime. Her tribute to candy corn was a triumph today. Chine Angola Jr. reminding you to tune into a football doubleheader Sunday. Those Bills host the Patriots, followed by Chargers at Broncos. Pregame begins at noon Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. So we've got a huge weekend coming up in the world of the NFL. As we mentioned, we've got all top five teams in college football in action on ESPN Radio, ESPN Airwaves this weekend. But coming up next, the number one team in the land is dealing with a big loss. How will they respond? That's next on Chine Angola Jr.